would have been a step in addressing the reduction of those costs through improved technology and innovation.
That's Rob Finley of the Illinois State Geological Survey at the University of Illinois talking about FutureGen, which lost its federal funding last week. You'll find an expanded version of this interview at our website at willnews.org. It's Morning Edition on WYLL.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. A quick programming announcement before we get rolling. Today is a USDA WASD reporting day, and we will have coverage after the reports this afternoon at 12:40 p.m. with Matt Bennett of Channel Seeds from Windsor, Illinois. Local analysts at Ag Rural and FC Stone has cut their forecast for Brazil's soybean crop after dry January weather. Ag Rural cut 3.1 million tons from its estimate for the crop to 91.9 million tons. Brazilian analysts at International FC Stone also cut their forecast to 92.8 million tons from 93.5 million tons a month earlier. Government Crop Supply Agency CONAB will update its official forecast for the crop on Thursday. The International Energy Agency today says that lower oil prices will dent surging U.S. shale oil production in the second half of the year, boosting demand for OPEC's oil and paving the way to a price recovery. The Paris-based energy watchdog cut its expectation for U.S. oil supply this year by 200,000 barrels a day compared with its previous forecast. The IEA expects demand for OPEC's oil to rise to 30.2 million barrels a day in the second half of the year, just above the group's self-imposed production quota. The U.S. benchmark oil contract fell from nearly $110 a barrel last summer to under $45 this year before a recovery to around $53 a barrel in recent days. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading at 17,760. It's up 79 points. The NASDAQ, 4239, up 25. The S&P 500 is 2,052. It is up 10 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Most of the U.S. Midwest will likely experience a relatively tranquil weather pattern for a little while as we go forward through the balance of this week and into the weekend. No extremely cold bouts of weather are likely, but we will have temperatures that are cooler biased, and that will be ongoing as we go through a large part of this next five-day period. There will be enough cold air that there will be some concern about Florida citrus crops a little later this weekend and early next week, but from a winter wheat perspective in the soft wheat production areas in the Midwest, we don't expect temperatures to get cold enough for a long enough period of time to create much of a concern. The lowest temperatures this week are expected to bottom out in the negative single digits and negative teens in the eastern Dakotas and Minnesota, but we won't see temperatures in the heart of the Midwest any cooler than single digits and teens, and most of those single digits will be confined to northern areas where there's still plenty of snow on the ground. And the coldest air for those northern areas will occur at the end of this work week and also again late in the weekend and early next week. We will see some sub-zero temperatures possibly on Sunday or Monday mornings in portions of the northern Midwest, extending as far south as northern Illinois. But I doubt seriously we'll see anything colder than that any further south. This cold air mass, or these two cold air masses that are expected, should be fairly quick moving, and they're not going to come with a lot of precipitation. The majority of the region is expecting very little in the way of significant precipitation for a while, but with that said, there will be at least a couple of disturbances that will bring at least an opportunity for a little bit of snowfall to northern parts of the region. The first disturbances coming into the region later today and will continue tomorrow. This will likely produce some snow across the Great Lakes region and no other areas except possibly Ohio and northeastern portions of Indiana. The accumulations should be relatively light. A second disturbance in front of the second surge of cold will push through the Midwest as we go from Thursday night and more likely Friday in the northwestern parts of the Midwest into the eastern Midwest as we go from Friday into Saturday. That system will also produce only light amounts of snow, running from a dusting upwards to a couple of inches, and the Great Lakes region will be most favored. Once that second surge of cold comes through the region, a warming trend will start to occur, and a warm front will likely generate a little bit of precipitation to portions of the upper Midwest as we get into Sunday, and that wintry mix of precipitation will work its way across the Great Lakes region into early next week. Then it looks like another round of cooler air will come into the north central parts of the U.S., possibly during the early part of next week. That cold air mass, though, is still up for considerable amounts of debate. I think it'll probably be a weaker event. It looks as though the afternoon temperatures across the majority of the region over these next few days will certainly be cooler biased as well. We won't see too many locations that get very warm. We'll expect the warmest weather to probably occur across the region this afternoon, with 30s and 20s expected in the northern parts of the Midwest, while 40s to near 50 degree temperatures will occur in the south. Kansas and Missouri, western Missouri in particular, will likely be warmest. Down in South America, there's still some concern about delays in second season corn planting as well as the harvest of early season crops. Rainy weather over the past week has left the ground saturated in many areas in Brazil. The outlook is for that region to dry down, but only gradually. We'll watch real closely what happens over these next few days. I personally believe that most of the farming activity will be slowed, but not inhibited to the point where there's going to be any concern for the quality of crops that remain or any prolonged delays in the fields in general. We do expect some port loading delays in a few of the areas along the Atlantic coast in eastern portions of Brazil as well. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Tickets are going fast for the 2015 All-Day Ag Outlook meeting, and Todd and I hope to visit with you. We've got a stacked lineup. It's a WASD day, so you will get wall-to-wall coverage on corn, soybeans, cash grain, and whatever else you want to talk about. Chris Hurt will talk livestock for 2015. Murray Wise has the latest on land value trends, and Sue Martin will deliver a keynote. Cost for the March 10th meeting is $25 and includes a continental breakfast and beef house lunch. Get your tickets by calling 217-333-7300 or online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter March wheat, 558 1/4, down 5 1/4. Soft March wheat, 525 3/4, down 4. March corn, 389, down 2 1/4. May, 397, down 2 1/2. July, 404 1/2, down 2 1/4. December, 418 1/2, down 2 3/4. March soybeans, 974 1/4, down 4 1/4. July, 985 3/4, down 5. November, 960, down 4 1/2. March soybean meal, 328.50, down 110. March soybean oil, 31.65, down 36. February live cattle, 158.82 1/2, up 37 1/2. March feeders, 202.62 1/2, down $1. February lean hogs for February, yeah, that's the one, 61.82 1/2, they're up 55 cents. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, it is a WASD day, but by all accounts, the trade is not expecting any sort of major revisions in either U.S. ending stocks or world supplies.
Not really. They expect maybe 14 million less in soybean stocks, 9 million more in corn stocks in the U.S., and they expect the national or the world stocks to be about unchanged. World stocks are basically at almost record levels on the high side, and that's what's holding prices down. Today, we're down across the board. Yesterday we were up across the board. Yesterday I think people were getting out ahead of the report, buying back shorts today. Don't know why we're down, but that report at 11 will give us a clue, and we'll go from there.
And then we move into the second half of the month, which has been a seasonal tendency to see somewhat of a rally. Some years are more strong than others. Do we think that seasonal will play into effect this year?
Don't really know. We made the highs during harvest, and then we backed off, and then we went back up a little bit from that. But the recent until last week was down. So I think if it doesn't shoot us in the foot or scare the heck out of people, we'll probably tend to go sideways to lower after the report.
So that means that we're looking maybe 330 cash corn. Not 330 cash. Well, 330 futures, perhaps, in the corn on the average after the 80%. So what does this imply for harvest and insurance intentions for next year?
Not very good numbers for the insurance stuff, and that might cut down coverage a lot.
All right, Pete, thanks much.
Have a great one.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities. He is in Normal, Illinois. March corn trading 388¾, down 2.5. July 404¼, down 2.5. December 418½, down 2¾. March soybeans 973, down 5.5. July 984¾, down 6. November 959¾, down 4¾. March soybean meal is 328.10, down 150. March soybean oil, 31.64, down 37 cents. And February lean hogs, 61.90, up 62.5. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It is now 9:01 Central Time.